My tunes this week, I'm talking to an old buddy of mine in radio. I thought, you know, who better to talk to about radio in general than my old mate Steve England. Steve, how are you?
I'm fine, sir. I'm very fine.
Steve, let's talk about early days. Obviously not born on the Isle of Man, but not too far away in the illuminating area of Blackpool.
Yes, indeed. I was born in Blackpool. In fact, my parents met in Blackpool Tower Circus. My mother wasn't supposed to be there because she was supposed to be in another act and she was seconded to the Tower Circus. And my dad was supposed to be doing other variety things. They had a variety act and they were suddenly offered this season and they cancelled all the others and took this season at the Tower Circus Blackpool. And that's where they met. And I toured with them. I was born a few years later, and I toured with them sort of all over the theatres of UK and Europe with their act until it got to the point where variety was dying and, you know, there wasn't much call for my dad's skills of riding a unicycle and spinning a rope, cracking a whip and twirling a baton. But he came back to Blackpool and eventually found a job as a cinema manager. We grew up for quite a while in Blackpool. And then he discovered about civic entertainment. And Dad moved to Bristol as assistant manager to the Colston Hall, bad name nowadays, I know.
Yeah.
And and that was great. We saw the Beatles there. It was a great time. And then he got a job in Folkestone, which was fantastic for me because while I was in Bristol, I wandered into my cousin's bedroom, and I said, and I was kind of interested in radio anyway, and I said, "Well, what's that that's playing?" And he said, "Well, it's a ship that's going round broadcasting called Radio Caroline, and it's going up to the Isle of Man."
That must have been immensely exciting, though, Steve, to grow up in you know, that kind of travelling circus kind of atmosphere. Didn't your parents kind of want you to carry on the tradition or not?
My dad, on purpose, didn't teach me anything because he could see it was a dying industry. He'd been in it all his life with his parents.
Yeah.
And my great-grandparents before then had also been circus artists and variety artists. So he could see it was dying and he didn't, therefore didn't teach it. My grandfather, on the side, taught me how to spin a rope and ride a unicycle, which my dad was none too pleased about. But anyway, so it was a great and interesting life all over Northern Europe and all over the theatres, different theatre each week. Great. I remember, you know, Roy Castle coming in.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't remember, but Roy Castle came in and said, "Wow, what a life to be born into! You know, sleeping in a trunk."
Mm.
Morecambe and Wise met Mum and Dad coming over the Pennines and said, "Can we see the baby? Can we see the baby?" And the baby was me.
Yeah.
So yes, it was exciting.
Did you always want to work in radio, or because I remember when I was at school, I had a careers officer, and I wasn't the brightest penny in the box at school. And they said to me, "Best thing you can do, Christopher, is go and work in a shop."
They had great imaginations and, you know, set wonderful goals for you, these guys, didn't they? Well, I had one that said to me, I got really interested in pirate radio because living in Folkestone and Deal, we were really close to most of the stations there. Stations changing all the time, new stations coming on,
yeah.
Radio England, Radio City, Tower Radio, I even heard once, Caroline, of course. And I was fascinated by them, but I was still in my early teens.
Mm.
And I remember the careers officers to me saying, "So what would you like to be then, Stephen?" And I said, "I'd like to be a disc jockey on a pirate radio station." And there was about a 10-second silence.
10-second pause, yeah.
And then he said, "Have you thought about the gas board?"
Lovely. Well, as it transpires, of course, you took the right decision and didn't work for the gas board.
Absolutely. So, second best thing, when the Pirates closed down in 1960, Caroline closed in 68,
yeah,
the rest
yeah.
closed more or less in 67, I thought I missed the boat. So I started up my mobile discotheque, and it was called Zap Discotheques, and it was more like a radio show. But, you know, we did very well in Kent.
Yeah.
And this song that this weird song that I've selected is called The Spanish Gypsy Dance. And I have heard this as a young child thousands of times because it was the music for my parents' act, El Granada's.
Steve, welcome back to the show. We spoke yesterday about offshore radio, and you worked for Radio Caroline off the Dutch coast for a while, didn't you?
Well, I thought when the stations closed down, when most of the pirate stations closed down in 67 and 68, Caroline being the last one, of course, towed away from the Isle of Man and also the South Ship,
yeah.
I thought I'd missed the boat, as it were.
Yeah.
And but then suddenly these ships appeared off the Dutch coast.
Yeah.
Radio Veronica had always been there, but then Radio North Sea International, and a big station with an international service, opened up. And then we heard rumours that Caroline was opening up again. They'd bought back the ship that had been in harbour, the Mi Amigo,
yeah.
a very old ship, been lots of different radio stations in its past. And I knew a photographer friend of a friend of a friend of a friend,
yeah.
and I think I impressed him, because when I went to see him, he had a unicycle on the wall of his house, and I said, "Oh, what's that?" And he said, "Oh, I took it to America. I can't really ride it, and so I took it down and rode it." So the next time, he was a photographer, and he wanted to take some photographs of the new Caroline for the Daily Mirror, I think it was. So he phoned me up and said, "I'll take you over there."
Mm.
And I said, "Oh, I can't do that. I've got all these disco." He said, "Steve, if you don't seize your dreams, drop it now. Drop your discos now and go."
Yeah.
He said, "You'll never get on."
So you had to learn Dutch then, or did you know how to speak? Could you speak the language, or...?
No, most of Holland is a great multilingual place, and right. they all speak English, to
right.
be honest.
Okay.
And the English service,
yeah.
We all spoke English. But when I got there, the ship wasn't out at sea.
Right.
It was actually in Amsterdam Harbour.
Right.
It had been towed in again by some of the crew that hadn't been paid their wages.
There's an old story,
That's when I joined it, and it was just on the cusp of New Year's Eve, 73, and they decided they could get the boat out, and everybody on New Year's Day would be at home, so there couldn't be a court to, put a writ on them.
Yeah, sure.
So, fascinating story of it going out, and eventually when it got out there, I was on board. And they said, "Right, everybody who's not broadcasting crew, off the ship." And I ran up to Ronan O'Reilly, who ran the ship, and I said, "Look, Ronan, I've I tidied this place up, I cleaned up. Let me stay on board."
Yeah.
And I said the magic words, "And I don't need pay."
I'll do it for free.
So he said,
"You couldn't possibly resist."
Okay,
yeah.
"You can stay."
You can stay.
So
man.
I went and hid.
Yeah.
I went and hid in the chain locker, and then I came out, when I knew the tender had gone, and they said, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "Well, Ronan said I could stay," so I made myself as useful as possible, and then eventually somebody said, "Who wants to do the 3 a.m. till 5 a.m. show?" And I said, I'll do it.
Well,
what experience have you got? I did mobile discotheques. "Oh, well, nobody else wants to do it, so you do it." And that's how I got my first break on Caroline. Yeah.
I'll
tell you what, will you play the Caroline tune, and I'll tell you about Atlantis tomorrow.
Okay. Well, listen, we'll play Caroline by the Fortunes, the track that will always be associated with Radio Caroline. So we'll do that now.
So fast.
iTunes once again for Wednesday morning, and Steve England is my guest. We talked yesterday about Radio Caroline and radio stations off the Dutch coast, and then you disappeared off to Belgium in 1974. You've been around a bit, Steve, haven't you?
Well, I have to say my experience on Caroline, I did appreciate that being my first station, but it was a very difficult station to work on. There were a lot of very strong personalities on there and not a lot of people you could trust. And so eventually I sort of packed it in with Caroline and went back to my mobile discotheque. So, you know, having been out there on and off for nearly 9 months. And I said, right, I've got it out of my system. Pirate radio, out of my system.
I've done
that. I can concentrate on mine.
Done it,
move on. And then I was doing a discotheque in an old folks home in Folkestone. It was actually an old folks hotel. And a friend phoned me and he said, hey, there's this news station. It's not got a very powerful transmitter, but it's off the Belgian coast called Atlantis. And Crispian St. John, who I'd shared a cabin with on Caroline, he apparently said on the air, Steve, if you're listening, come out to the ship. So I said, well, I want to find out more about this. I'm not so sure. And so I went out and I was amazed that I got paid. So
that is astonishing.
Which was a rare event on Caroline, I can tell you that.
Yeah, indeed. Hey, listen, nothing changes there. but there you are. So Radio Atlantis, you're bobbing around off the Belgian coast doing English language programming.
That's right. During the evening, starting at 6 o'clock through to about 8 or 9 in the morning, it was run by a Belgian millionaire, and he couldn't get his own records on the radio station in Belgium. He was a frustrated pop singer, actually, and had lots of other bands and so on. And so he started his own ship, and he really didn't care what we did. You know, when the Belgian tapes had gone out during the day, and at night we could run this international service, which we did through to. You know, through till the early morning, and that was fabulous. Loads of great people on board. We got paid, you know, reasonably well. The food was good. The transmitter was never that powerful, but we had a great transmitter engineer, and he got a pretty good signal out of it. Mm. Atlantis was a lovely experience, but of course it closed down when the Dutch, not the Belgians. The Belgians already had an anti-pirate law, but it was serviced from Holland, and they passed a law against pirate radio, and that was it. So I was out of work until I got a phone call from Roger Day initially, and then Steve Merrick, two old disc jockeys from Radio Caroline, and they said, we're up here working for Philip Birch, who ran Radio London, you know, the most successful pirate of the 60s, Piccadilly Radio, you know, why don't you apply for a job?
Which is Manchester at the time, yeah.
That's right. So I went up and got interviewed by Philip Birch as well, and that was fantastic. Got the job as like a junior, you know, technical assistant, and spent 5 years at Piccadilly Radio. But I didn't know at that time there was a department that made radio commercials. I've always been interested in tape recording, production, things like that. And within a year, I was running that department and ran it for about four or five years, something like that.
All right. Well, let's talk about radio station imaging and jingles and commercials and stuff tomorrow. But you've got a special tune that you think we should listen to from your time on Radio Atlantis.
Well, this is the theme to Atlantis. It's by The Shadows, so most people will know it. But I had the pleasure of actually going. My wife loves Cliff Richard, and so we went along to a Cliff Richard concert, and I was amazed when they played Atlantis, because to me that meant my radio station. And we had lots of fun out there, lots of jingles, lots of laughs, lots of fun. Got on a little boat that went, you know, a plastic boat on the end of a piece of string, and went round the boat, and all sorts of great fun there. So here, this is Atlantis by The Shadows.
So yesterday, Steve, we spoke about Piccadilly Radio in Manchester. Am I right? I'm too young, you see. Was that on 206 metres medium wave, was it?
261. 206 was Radio Manchester.
Oh, was it?
But I have to say, my first week, I said, welcome to Piccadilly on 206. I did get reprimanded for that because it's that was the rival station, Radio Manchester.
Of course. You mentioned earlier on that you had a lot of time on the Atlantis ship making jingles and mucking around with echo boxes and making sound effects out of cardboard boxes and pebbles and all that kind of stuff, which we all did in our formative years. So is that what led you to start up Alpha Sound?
Well, I was always fascinated by American jingles. You know, the pirate stations, Radio London, Radio England, they brought over these fantastic jingles from America.
Sound great.
Caroline stole some of them. Yeah. And there was a wonderful industry, really led by a company called PAMS of Dallas. I was fascinated by them and collected a lot of their jingles through American collectors and so on, who sent me tapes. And I always wanted to start a jingle company. And one day, when I was in commercial production at Piccadilly Radio, in walked a musician, and I played him some of these jingles, and he said, "Wow, well, that's just like the Hi-Lows." And I said, "Who's the Hi-Lows?" He said, "Oh, well, you know, Singers Unlimited." "What are Singers Unlimited?" And anyway, we got together and we were very, he liked the American jingles. Most of the musicians that I played American jingles to just said, "Oh, yeah, that's just kind of like, you know, dead easy to do." No, it isn't. So Alan and I said to Alan, "I'll leave Piccadilly and we'll set up a little studio." And it was literally in his garage, you know, he'd one single car garage. He divided it down the middle. I put in my equipment. There was a little tiny vocal booth, and we started off a jingle company. And to our utter amazement, because we were trying to do stuff like the Americans at the time, English radio couldn't buy American jingles. And within something like 3 or 4 years, we were the top jingle company in the UK, out of a little garage. My main aim was to, make the best jingle company I could outside of America. But I got to know, some of the people over in America, because some of the collectors of jingles then got jobs at PAMS and some of the other companies there. And eventually, one, John Wolfert, I got to know him very well, and he set up Jam Productions. And, it's a long story, really. I went over to Dallas. Piccadilly used to send somebody over every year to America to study American radio. And I said, "Well, can I go to Dallas?" And
That's a good gig. Is anybody listening downstairs in management here at Manx Radio? I'd love to go to Dallas, OK? I'd be the first to accept that.
Well, Philip Birch was very clever as well. You know, in December, you got two salaries, which I thought was pretty amazing. Double your salary. I went over and I got to know John Wolfert, and there was another friend called Ken Justice. He worked at TM Productions. And then eventually, after a long time, John Wolfert, Jam Productions, he came to us. By this time, Alpha Sound was doing loads and loads of jingles. And he said, "How would you like to represent me?" Well, it was sort of like representing the Rolls Royce of jingles.
Yeah.
So from that point onwards, we still did our own jingles, but we also, I went over taking people over to Dallas all the time to do their jingles. So I kind of lived in Dallas quite a lot for about 10 years until another fashion came along and nobody wanted them very much anymore.
It's the way radio works, isn't it? You know, things go in and out of fashion. You know, there was a guy who used to do very deep voice jingles called Bill Mitchell, and Bill Mitchell was everywhere on every radio station and just about every television advert for, it seemed like, years, didn't it?
Absolutely. He died of testicular cancer, actually, in the end.
Did he?
But he had the most amazing voice.
He was in The Stud with Joan Collins.
Was he really?
With Joan Collins. Yeah. So of course you worked with Jam right up until you retired in 2011. Is it that long ago you retired?
I know. Yeah. Well, I then said Alpha Sound lasted for about 18 years, and then there was a lot of aggro, and eventually I closed the company down, just set up on my own without any partners. And now my son's taken over the business. And yes, we still do our own jingles. Simon's got a whole new load of people doing very modern sounding jingles, new composers. composers and you know, new producers. And I, you know, and he still represents Jam, who bought up Pams as well. So we've got all the Pams tracks, all the Jam tracks, going back to the 1981, the beginning of Jingles.
Well, you do all the Carnaby Street Jam jingles for me. That's Steve England and his son who've done all those. So our listeners will be well familiar with those, yeah.
It's a pleasure, Chris, to do them, I have to tell you. But this next song, which I suppose is my last one, is a song that Jam made. It took them 6 weeks to make it, to sing all about their company and how they love making jingles and, you know, all the different stations they sing jingles for. I doubt if your listeners have ever heard this before, but it's a wonderful production. And John tells me that in the, this John Wolfert at Jam, that he got emails from Italy saying they were playing it in the discotheques and dancing to it.
Listen, they'll do anything over there, Steve. They'll dance to anything. Listen, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on board this week. I've really enjoyed talking to you again. And
me too.
And now you're in retirement with your lovely wife, Barbara. Do you still keep a finger in radio if you had enough of it?
Yeah, when anything vintage comes up, Simon turns to me and says, Dad!
What do you know about this?
Yeah, so I always try and get involved in anything like your, you know, your ones for Carnaby Street and things like that. So I still keep my hand in a little bit.
Good man. We'll play the Jam song then, as it's called, and we'll say thank you once again, Steve England, from, well, from, as you've heard, various locations around Europe. It's been an absolute
including
pleasure.
Including Leek in Staffordshire.
Including Leek in Staffordshire, yeah. It's been a great time. Thanks so much for joining us this week, Steve.
Thank you, Chris. That's wonderful to talk to you.
Making friends all around the world, singing up and down the dial. Ooh, la.